neckties. Lots and lots of neckties. And some art. And some rocks. Oh, yeah, and there's a little bit of a music video. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. You are listening to Ears on Art, a part of Issues and Ideas, produced here at the studios of KCBX Public Radio in San Luis Obispo, serving Southern Monterey, San Luis Obispo, and Santa Barbara counties. My name is Stephen DeLuque, and co-host Krissa Hewitt and I today continue our conversation with Philip Carey, the gentleman who designed the cover of this year's Open Studios catalog, but more about that later. Philip undergoes kidney dialysis treatment 3 times a week, and he utilizes this time to create some of his artwork. Let's let Philip explain.
When you go to dialysis, do you just have a little pack that you take with you of sharpened? I assume they're very sharp pencils most of the time.
Actually, what I do at dialysis is that I take an envelope and I take a very fine pen. And in 3 hours, I do a piece of artwork on a number 10 envelope. And depending on what the artwork is, sometimes it gets much more complicated because I've still got an hour left of my treatment. And I look at the envelope and it looks like it's done. So I think, well, I guess I better go back in and add another layer or use a finer pen or something. But it definitely makes the time go fast. It's fun to do that. I really look forward to sequestering myself for 3 hours, 3 days a week, just working on those things. Why don't I get a couple of envelopes?
Okay, so we're now in the kitchen. That didn't take us long.
Here is one of the first envelopes I did is a self-portrait of me at dialysis working on a self-portrait of me at dialysis,
working on.
And so I thought this would be fun to do this as a little limited edition, and there's a bunch of them in here.
This is the kitchen, but at least half of this kitchen, which is 6 by 8.
No, probably a little bit bigger.
Maybe
10 by 8.
Is filled with pencils and little bits of paper and a table that you can sit at. Lots of things around on the walls. Well, the whole house has a very inventive feel to it.
Well, occasionally there's a square foot of space that I can work at, but right now there isn't.
But I mentioned sharp pencils before, and I want you to know, folks, that they definitely all look pristine.
And there's about 100 of them, all different colors and shades.
Well, there's another box of another 100 down there. So the colors I don't really need right now.
Has the palette changed much over the years?
You know, what's interesting is that I have sort of my favorites that I don't want to lose out on. I don't want to lose. And there's just like a half a dozen that almost every drawing I do has to have that color in it somewhere. But then often I will close my eyes. I will go in and grab a handful of pencils, and those are the ones that I use for a drawing, or usually I'll use them for a border. This morning, I wasn't interested in doing a dream drawing, so I decided just to do a border, and I did this one down here. And it's one that, let's see, it's chartreuse, ochre, slate gray, and black. I don't know. It makes sense to me.
So the central image, does that come later?
Well, sometimes, these are some that I'm working on for the new book. I will actually get up. I'll have had this dream. I'll do the border. I'll do the whole dream before I go off and do anything else and get it done. And once it ends up on the refrigerator door, then it's like ready to go for scanning for the next book. And this one, because of what the theme and the subject matter was, I decided it had to go on black paper. So, and I've never done one on black paper, but it seemed to work okay.
And what's this wonderful collection on top of the refrigerator?
Oh. Well, I was, when I was singing with the Greg Smith Singers, actually the last thing I did with them was a European tour. And it was some concerts, but basically it was recordings for Columbia and Everest Records. And we spent a week in San Marco in Venice recording the music of Giovanni Gabrielli. And we did four albums, one of which won a Grammy Award that year. And across the Grand Canal from San Marco Square is Santa Maria della Salute.
Okay.
And I was so taken with it. When I got back from Europe, I went into the Navy for 2 years of active duty, and then after the 2 years, I went back to graduate school, and I didn't accomplish much because I was trying to make a living and have a family, but I had a box of junk that I had found, things I'd found in the street or at the refuse, at the Salvation Army used to have a as-is yard, and out in the as-is yard, I would find these things, so there's parts of toilet plungers. These are old flashlights, probably from the 40s. Mm-hmm. And these round things are old brass fire extinguishers. Anyway, I had saved all of this brass and steel, tin, and other things, and formulated it into what my impression of the cathedral over there.
I'm saying that half of the toilet plunger really does look like almost any major dome that you're going to find.
Yes, and
in
fact,
Italy
the fact
or
that it's copper.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
It's just perfect. I love this piece.
And sitting behind it is a bottle of 1973 Kahlua that my late Aunt Miriam made in 1973, and there's still about an inch left in this old wine bottle that has a label that I designed for her. And since I'm on dialysis, I don't drink alcohol except on my birthday, which happens to be New Year's Eve. I have one shot of Aunt Miriam's Kahlua to celebrate. And that's it. That's it. So
that's a great story.
This is Isaac Wolman. And he was a fellow kidney dialysis patient until about a year ago when he got his kidney. And he came to my barbecue this year, and he's looking really good. He had a show at the Arts Obispo, the old gallery.
Right.
Might have been one of the last ones. And I saw that piece, and I said, this is so Isaac. So I had to buy this. And then this is a piece by Nick Wilkinson, who runs a grow nursery, cactus and succulents, among other things. And his wife is Kara Suzuki, who is the graphic designer. So when I saw this piece, which is these wonderful sort of underground formations done kind of like a rainbow with the water in between, I saw that and I said, my mom would have loved that. So I had to buy it. I'm still buying things for her, and she's been gone for 20 years. So.
Well, the other artwork that we haven't talked about is back in the other room.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Come on, man.
These are composers that I worked with, sang with in my old musical days. I was on that album right there, the Stravinsky. This is Stravinsky in recording sessions at Columbia. And then this is Darius Mio at Mills College, and I was doing a film on him and did those pictures, and Copeland at Long Beach State. This is me in San Marco, Venice, singing on one of the recordings. This is Lloyd Wright, architect, son of Frank. Mm-hmm. And that's Bernard Rands, who is an English composer. He was such a kind of a teddy bear guy, but that photograph with his cigarette in the shade, right? But we can talk about this wall. When I was in high school, my mom got a job at an interior designer's retail shop in Long Beach. He sold very interesting, unusual, imported, domestic things, artwork, furniture. And one of the things that he had was the sole distributorship in Long Beach of B.J. Ernst ties, neckties. And Ernst kind of invented the thin, squared-off tie with really sexy, colorful, cool stripes of various colors. I mowed lawns to save my money so that I could buy one of these ties so that I could be the coolest kid in my high school. For whatever reason, there was a period in high school in 1961 where all the cool guys wore ties.
Stephen, you had some response. I mean, first of all, would you describe this wall?
There has to be, what, 300-400 ties here?
400.
Yeah, about 400 ties here of just an amazing color array. They're loosely grouped into color schemes, but not entirely. And that's the really fun part of it. And the reason I reacted to it is because yesterday I was wearing a tie by Ernst that was from my husband's ninth grade graduation in 1969. And so I actually have one of these.
So these ties are hung across this wall, three tiers. It's just such a wonderful array of pattern, color, a little bit of everything. And then we switch in the middle to ties with points.
I put them up there roughly in chronological order from left to right. And the wall is about 8 feet high and 14 feet wide. And so the earliest ones, probably the mid-50s, are on the far left there. And there's a few of them.
Yeah.
And then as we move across, when we get about halfway or a little more, it became the late 60s, early 70s, and the pointed tie came back, and they started getting wider and wider. And that's when Ernst sold out, but they are so ugly. They look, unfortunately, like inexpensive department stores. It does tell a story, and I keep thinking, well, I'm going to do the definitive book on the Ernst tie, but one more thing.
If you have just joined us, you are listening to Ears on Art, a part of Issues and Ideas. Today is the second half of a conversation with Philip Carey. Co-host Krista Hewitt and I visited him in his studio in Morro Bay.
What used to live here was a collage that was based on 35 years of me having to go to meetings at museums, staff meetings, and they were always a couple hours long. I got to say 5 minutes of my spiel and then had to listen to 2 hours of somebody telling about how good they were or what a great job they were doing or something. So since my hand can't keep still, I always have to be doing something. So I'd always take a piece of paper of some sort or the agenda or whatever. Come back and close the door. When it was out on the other wall, it was, I think, about 12 feet wide. And after it was up there for a year, I did it in Sacramento for my retirement retrospective exhibit, which was sort of 40 years of strange artwork. So it sat up there and I thought, it needs something. So that's when I decided to put a big 3-5 in the middle of it. So they're like 5 foot high numbers on a diagonal. And what I did was I just went in, I penciled out the 3-5, went in with a palette of colored pencils and did it right over the top of the other artwork. Anyway, so it, unfortunately, that's the only wall that it fits on. But while it was at the San Luis Obispo Museum of Art on display, that was when I crafted the idea of putting the ties up instead. So
a blank wall was not acceptable.
I couldn't stand it. Right.
The beauty of this is the three-dimensionality of it. You know, you have layer upon layer upon layer built up of all of these intricate drawings and shapes and cutouts.
I laid out the flat things first, and I thought, no, it needs something. And since a lot of the the designs, the drawings, the doodles kind of have a three-dimensional quality anyway, I thought, okay, well, I will mount some of them on flat boards as a background, and then I'll mount others so that I can block them out and give them three-dimensional quality. So I think there's some areas where there's four or five different layers that come out maybe 5 inches or so. Mm-hmm. I feel like one of those mainstream big-name artists because I actually hired 2 students to cut them out for me because the deadline...
You have a staff.
Yes, I have a staff. The deadline for the exhibit was coming up so fast, I thought, I'm not going to make it on my own. I was hoping somebody would write a check for it when it was on display so I didn't have to figure out where to put it. Well, this was particularly difficult to move around.
Undecorated space does not seem to be a desired component. But it's all done so tastefully that it's not a feeling of too much somehow. It's great.
I think the term is like horovacque. Isn't that it? The fear of...
Abhor of a vacuum.
Yes. Abhor is a vacuum. So I lived in a 4-bedroom, 3-bath house that was sort of the family home. And then when everybody was gone or elsewhere, it was just me and my cat. And when my cat died, I thought, well, it's time to move from this place. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford to keep it clean. It was completely filled with stuff that I had collected for 40 years. So I started buying these boxes, and I went to Office Max and bought a package of like 10 storage boxes. And I thought, oh, this ought to be enough. Well, I ended up with 193 storage boxes of things that I couldn't stand to live without. And that was after the garage sale and after the antiques people came and took things away. I hauled things to my kids and filled 2 16-foot dumpsters. So what I have here is really the most important stuff. And it might be what it says on the box. I'm not exactly sure.
What we're looking at is a coffee table that has been wonderfully created with stolen polished rocks, or stolen rocks that you polished.
That's right. Yeah, well, I started
under
polishing,
glass.
I started polishing them to use out in my landscaping in between the flagstones. When I put the mortar in there, I leave enough space that I can push in one of these polished rocks just because it adds something nice about it. So, and these were my favorite ones that I wanted to keep indoors, and those are kind of in a transition over there. And now I have people bringing me rocks. Now, there is one last thing that would go well, I think. It's an audio-visual part, and at least the audio part would work well. I had given a book to my friend Linda in Beaverton and to another friend in New Jersey, both of whom are musicians and composers. So Linda wrote 4, and Bill Vollinger from New Jersey wrote 5 pieces to my dream drawings. What I decided to do was that Linda and I would perform them at the opening of the event of the exhibit at the art museum. And then I thought, well, when we're not there, why don't I do a video that would also have them? And so I found a young man from Santa Maria Public Access who did a visual with the sound that we had recorded of the music.
The following is one of the pieces performed on the video by Philip Carey, called Goat to School. For superior recording of this, please visit YouTube and enter his name, Philip Carey, C-A-R-E-Y, to get a better recording. But here we are, Goat to School.
Scene 1.
I'm riding my goat down a trail at an extensive park.
John McCain. From the legislature.
I need to find Van Doren Boulevard. I get a cell phone call from a kid who says he'll only charge $5 to clean up my Uncle Claude's yard.
Scene two.
I get to the university and ride inside, but a prof tells me the goat can't come in because
we can't have any carbon in here.
I think, aren't we all carbon?
Carbon.
Outside I meet a woman
with a dog in a lizard suit.
The goat wants to play, but poops on the sidewalk, looking for a
tissue.
My arm starts bleeding. I awaken singing, there is no life I know that compares
with your imagination
from the Willy Wonka movie.
Well, it was certainly interesting and fun to see what someone else does with my dreams.
So on the sinking submarine, they were actually playing the music that you had written on the side of the submarine.
Linda arranged that one and thought it would be good to do it with organ. I had no idea what it sounded like. I don't write music. Anyway, it was fun, and they had fun doing it. Both of them want to do more.
Oh, Philip, this has just been just great. Hopping from one thing to another as we go from drawings to ties to rocks to the wonderful garden outside to sculptures to the doodles for meetings.
Well, I think it's...
I think you've... And a video now. So we've pretty much encompassed an entire world.
Well, it's been great. Story of my life, but then I think it's sort of the story of everybody's life where... You never realize how many things you're involved with. So they start overlapping, and that's what makes it fun.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed it.
It's just visually stimulating. It's just been a pleasure.
Well, you haven't seen half of it yet.
Well, okay. One more song from the music video. This one, the Cowboy Painter song.
A cowboy artist is painting in my laundry room. His big paintings are pretty good. But then I noticed he started on a paint-by-number clown.
This is my brother Steve playing the guitar.
A cowboy artist is painting in my laundry room. His big paintings are pretty good. But then I noticed he started on a paint-by-number clown.
Krissa and I would like to thank today's and last week's guest, Philip Carey. If you would like to hear the music video based on Philip's artwork and featuring music composed specifically for the video, go to YouTube and type in Philip Carey, the last name spelled C-A-R-E-Y. Philip designed the cover and other graphics for this year's Open Studios tour catalog. The tour begins this Saturday and Sunday, October 13th and 14th, and continues next weekend, the 20th and 21st, countywide for both weekends. Studios are open from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. Not all studios are open both weekends. It's best to check the catalog to see what the opening hours are. For more information or to download the catalog, visit the San Luis Obispo County Arts Council website at artsobispo.org. Both hosts of Ears on Art, both myself and Chrissy Hewitt, are participating in this year's Open Studios Art Tours. We hope to see you out and about. In November, Krissa and I are dedicating both programs to Myron Graham, who recently passed away. Although not active recently in the arts community, Myron and his wife Priscilla was a huge part of the fine arts movement in San Luis Obispo County in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. His art supply store was the hub for both artists and art lovers alike. His graciousness, enthusiasm, and generosity kept many a struggling artist in both supplies and motivation. So, in November, the amazing contributions of Myron and Priscilla Graham. Other goings-on in the area. Take a moment to stop by the Steinberg Gallery at 1531 Monterey Street in San Luis Obispo to view the artwork of the incomparable Mark Bryan. For those of you who are not familiar with Mark's work, and I can't imagine that there are many of you, he paints with a whimsical style that analyzes the landscape of the American psyche. His images are both entertaining and thought-provoking. Visit the website at steinberggallery.com. That's Steinberg, or call 547-0278 for hours of operation. To the north, we have Studios on the Park, located at 1130 Pine Street at the eastern side of the Central Park in Paso Robles. Current exhibits are Press, Paper, Fire, and Clay, a collaboration between Earthsea Pottery and five artists of the Guild of Printmakers. Also showing at the Studios on the Park is artwork by Aaron Hansen in the Atrium Gallery. Both shows run through October 28th. For more information, visit their website at studiosonthepark.com. To the Ears on Art section of KCBX's Issues and Ideas. Ears on Art is produced twice monthly at the studios of KCBX Public Radio, serving the central coast of California from Salinas to Ventura. Ears on Art, now in its 13th year, is produced and hosted by myself, Stephen DeLuque, and co-host Chrissa Hewitt. To listen to last week's show, or any of the past shows for that matter, visit the website kcbx.org and select the archives and scroll down to select the show you wish to hear. And thanks to all who recently called in during our pledge drive. Your support is much appreciated. Krissa and I thank you very much for listening, and we hope to see you out at the Open Studios Art Tours.